I thought of bringing a drum for the response there. His love endures forever. Did you hear the rhythm? Did you hear the rhythm? And when you hear the rhythm, you get the psalm. You get it. You get it in your body, not just in your mind. You get it in your body. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. And interestingly, the psalmists often looked at the sun and the moon and took that as a sort of metaphor, as a symbol. Of course, they could be reflecting the ancient pagan worship of the sun, but what they made of it was God's love. God created that. God created that. God created you. His love endures forever. We live in a very turbulent world, yes. Things move quickly. I mean, phones change, don't they? Do you have a smartphone? Do you notice it's sometimes not so smart as you think? Have you ever noticed that it tends to want to finish your sentences for you or your words for you? And does it get the word you want? No, it doesn't. Somebody sent something the other day calculating the time that was wasted in the world by people having to go and correct the autocorrect. It turned out to be several days a year on average. In fact, even worse than that. Technology changes. You know, we used to have something we owned. You buy something from the shop and you own it, and gradually over the time it deteriorates, and you can see it deteriorating, then you have to buy a new one. When you buy a phone, you borrow it, because it doesn't really belong to you, because it changes every time they update it. Your computer changes. Now our car changes every time they update the computer. Technology changes. And it's interesting, it's not just us people in, the older age that get frustrated. The young people get frustrated too. Do you get frustrated by your phone changing? Oh, that's a great relief. Thanks, Miriam. That is the right answer, yes, as Anne says, that's right. Our bodies change, our families change, even the things we rely on don't feel reliable anymore. So how do we find stability? It's always been something that people have longed for, the ability to find stability. And about 10,000 years ago, when there weren't any clocks, when there weren't any calendars, there wasn't much writing 10,000 years ago. People lived in the UK, and probably there wasn't any writing in the UK 10,000 years ago. This is the Mesolithic period we're talking about. And they were hunter-gatherers all over Europe. The Dogger Bank had just sort of, disappeared. We couldn't walk to Europe anymore. More's the point, more's the pity. Their lives depended on knowing the seasons, on being able to predict when they should get ready for hunting, when the animals would move, when the plants would grow, when winter was coming, where they could find the plants, which time of year. But they had no calendar. Until. I want you to show you a place called Warren Field in Aberdeenshire. So there, the place I'm pointing to is, it's a little thing called Warren Field, about there, right above my hand. Forget about the little red dot at the moment, the Google dot. And actually, I'll tell you what. So forget about the Google dot there. That's irrelevant for the moment. But there's Aberdeen at the top right-hand corner. There is Stonehaven there. And this is the Grampian Mountains, those shady bits. It isn't that I dropped the thing on the floor. Those shady bits are mountains, the Grampians. And that's Warren Field. And in Warren Field, some archaeologists a few years ago discovered some pits. And so here's the pits. You see that there's a big one there and a slightly smaller one there. And it turned out they were in a long line, a bit of a curved line, with the big one in the middle and the little ones spaced around them in a line. And they were spaced out, so the next slide shows their spacing. Can you see? Yeah? There's quite spaced out there. And the question was, what did this denote? And then somebody noticed that the sizes were all regular, and they came to the realization that this was depicting the phases of the moon. So if you look at the next slide, we know about the phases of the moon.
Yeah?
And this picture just shows 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 phases of the moon. They wanted to have a more accurate bit. That's what gave the hint that this might be something where they wanted to record the phases of the moon. And now here's the thing that I didn't know. Well, I should have known, but didn't. Where does the moon start? Which is the waxing moon and which is the waning moon? Does it go in that direction or that direction? Yeah?
Do you know? Waxing is the sea backwards. Waning is the sea forwards.
Well done. That's right. So, did anybody hear that? Say it again.
When the moon's shaped like a sea, that's it. It's waning. When it's waxing, it's like a sea backwards.
That's exactly right. So you don't read this from left to right. You read it like Sanskrit. Is Sanskrit right or left? Hebrew, yeah. You read it that way. It's the sea backwards, which is the waxing moon until it's full. And then, so, you know, I didn't know that until I looked it up. I guess early humans did, because they would want to look at the moon. But if they, here's the phase of the moon. I forgot I had that. Okay, so there's the new moon. There's the waxing crescent. There's the first quarter. There's the waxing gibbous. Is that how you pronounce it? Gibbous? Gibbous? Gibbous. Thank you. And there's the full moon. There's the waning gibbous. Thank you, Pauline. And then there's the last quarter, waning crescent. I can say that. And the new moon starts again. So, you know, the moon was available to people and it keeps pretty good time, right? So they could look at the moon. Why do they need the pits then? I mean, you could look up and see your calendar in the sky. Why do they need the pits? And this is where it gets very clever. When the archaeologists went and calculated things, they found that although the moon drifts, of course it does, it drifts from the seasons. So if you try and keep time of the seasons, the plants, the animals, with just the moon, you won't get there because the moon is only on a 28-day cycle. Yeah? But if you look more closely at the map, now look at Sluck Road. Sluck actually comes from the Gaelic meaning slock, meaning hollow. And you can't see it quite on this map, but right where that dot is, there are two hills. And if you look up where Warren Field is, it turns out that 8,000 years ago, the midwinter sun, what, 21st of December or something, it rises and shines right through that gap onto the pits. Why is that important? Actually, the road up is the A957, I think. Scotland has some very exotic roads. They start with weird numbers like 9 and 8. We don't tend to do that in England, do we? So 957, the sun rises here, shines right across the pits. And so I think we've got another, yeah, okay. So that's what, there's the representation of the pits. There's the sun rising in midwinter. And what does that mean you could do? When the sun rises exactly through that point, you know that's the start when you start counting. You look at where the phase of the moon is now, and you take that as your starting clock. So if the moon is on that side, let's say, and that line, that's when you start your clock, and you count the phase of the moon from then, and then you know that you can 28 days from then, 20 days from then, and you can count the seasons. Does that make sense? So instead of starting with the new moon or starting with the full moon, you start with wherever the moon is when the sun rose, and you count from there. And then you have a pretty good idea. I don't know whether the weather was unstable as it is today, But you have a pretty good idea when spring is going to come, when the animals will move, when the plants will grow, where the good crops were, and so on. So it wasn't complicated, but the sunrise never wandered. If you just know what phase the moon is in, when that sun rises right at that point, you can do the rest yourself. It required a lot of attention, of course, and it required quite a bit of trust, but it did the job. Human beings have always lived in a changing world, and what we're looking for is not no change. We can believe sometimes that maybe things didn't change when we were young, but they actually did. We can feel nostalgia, but as Mark Carney said, nostalgia is not a strategy, and actually, nostalgia is not a way forward either. Things change. What we're really looking for is not no change, but something steady enough to orient our lives, something to fix ourselves on. And our faith has something to say about that. The Christian faith says that God is the fixed point at the heart of the universe. That's the hypothesis that we engender, that we test in our faith. And as we grow older, as we face sickness and loss and death, as people we love behave in ways we find hard to understand or accept, and leaders shout their crazy slogans at a bewildered world, the surface of life can feel very stormy indeed. But the invitation of faith is not to deny the storm, but to carry a deeper steadiness into it, the Sabbath of a deeper sea. The psalmist looks at the sun and the moon and cries out, God's love endures forever. And what if we could reset our hearts? What if we, once we know where to look, could reset our hearts, to reset our faith, maybe once a year, maybe once a day, maybe once a breath, and begin again to sense that Sabbath of the deeper sea? So we're going to remain seated to sing a John Bell and Graham Moore hymn about peace that lasts and love that lasts and hope that lasts, a prayer that we will indeed find this faith that lasts and endures as God has promised to invite us into. God, give us peace that lasts.